The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us, as disciples of your Son, to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated while Vicar Thomas tells the children a special message.
Go ahead and gather up around if you can. May I take your place? Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and gather around if you want so everybody can look at this.
People were selling crosses.
Yeah, they're selling crosses outside today. You probably noticed that on the way in. Isn't this beautiful? Look at it. You can pass it around and take a look. So Perez is outside. Those are the stations of the cross, and you can learn about those a little later than today. That's right. That's right. They're Roman numerals. You want to pass it around so everybody can see it again? Yes, isn't it beautiful? So, do you know where this is, where Ferez has come from today? He's come from Bethlehem, and he's with Bethlehem Handcrafts. He's come all the way because a lot of us can't go out there to him. Did you know that he's one of very few Christians in the Holy Land? Yeah, it was about 63% years ago, you know, not even maybe 50 years ago, there was about 63% of people in the Holy Land were Christians, but now it's less than 2%. That's a lot of people that left. But for years, for generations, I mean, even I think for about 1,000 years, people have been carving these crosses out of wood just to support their families. And I mean, such a beautiful craft, you know, you wouldn't want that to go away, would you? So. But because of war, because of a lot of very unsafe conditions there, you know, a lot of people can't go.
Yeah, like some people in, like, outside of the United States, people, there's a gang that kills Christians.
Well, we hope that our prayers are with them, certainly. But you can imagine that they need some money to support their families. And so for him to come all this way just to sell his goods so that he can support his family and support other Christians in the Holy Land, that must be a really big, important thing, right? I think that we can show him a little mercy. That's what our theme.
Like one church in
there are plenty of churches, but not a lot of Christians. One of the things that we can do, today you're going to be talking about mercy. Anybody know what mercy is? Who can tell me what mercy is? It's like love. It's an act of love. What is it? What do you do with your love? Is it doing the right thing usually? You spread it with other people. That's right. That's right. So doing mercy is something that Jesus did and something that we do as well because of Jesus. And so buying some of these crafts, supporting some of these families that may not have it as well off as we do, may not be as safe as we do, and supporting them and by getting just this little craft and that money that can go a long way for them. That can be a little mercy, don't you think? It can be just a little act of kindness. Look, did you already see it? Okay. But yeah, so you and everybody here is welcome to go and look. Ferez will be here today selling his gifts, and they're quite beautiful. They're quite unique. So anyway, so let's pray for the Christians in the Holy Land now, and we will pray that we can support them in any ways we can. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have sent to us people like Ferez that can tell us about the hardships for people in the faith in other places and illustrate how we best can help them in even just these small ways. And we pray this and help us to do mercies to other people, even just by these small acts of kindness. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, may I have that back? And I will trade you the Bible if you want to take that. There you go. Bye, everybody. Little children,
reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your glory be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations.
The peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. A reading from Romans. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came and started shouting, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away. She keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, It's not fair to take children's food and throw it to dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well,
Jesus leaves that familiar territory of the Galilee, and he goes to Tyre and Sidon, this not-so-nice district, this place that most Jewish people would not dare to go. It's socially unacceptable. It's where the so-called outcasts, the unclean, the undesirable lives, kind of like what I hear Midway was like about 40 years ago, or the gas lamp area about that many years ago as well, if my history of San Diego is correct. Not the best place of town. You wouldn't want to be found in that neighborhood. Well, here's Jesus in that neighborhood. And we discover, though, in this place that an outsider becomes an insider, finds a place inside the heart of God. Both being a Canaanite and a woman, this unnamed person has two strikes against her, at least. And still, she is not afraid to confront this Jewish man. Two sins she has just committed. She's speaking to a Jew. She's speaking to a man that's not a relative in public. But he's in her neighborhood now. And she is in desperate need. Her daughter is sick, tormented, Matthew says, by a demon. What mother wouldn't want her daughter to be healed? So she goes against all those social and religious norms to find the right healing for her child. She speaks up, not knowing what kind of a response she's going to get. She's willing to take a stand. She's willing to take a risk. She's willing to cross that social boundary. At first, Jesus doesn't even respond. He ignores her. But the disciples notice her. They show their bias. Send her away. Get rid of her. Tell her to go away. Just like in a couple chapters before this, Matthew tells the story of the disciples again, wanting to send people away. Remember the story of the crowd, and it's getting dark, and they're going to get hungry, and we don't have any food, and what should we do? I know what we should do. Send them away. Let's just get rid of our troubles or our concerns. The disciples want to send her away as well. She receives no compassion from them. She's a foreigner. They have no concern for her kind. They would be really happy for some kind of a physical border or barrier between them. And Jesus doesn't appear much better. He seems only concerned with exclusivity. He knows that God loves the Jews, the chosen people, the house of Israel. And Jesus doesn't much care for the others. He's not concerned about them. But this woman is not going to give up. At least she's not giving up easily. She pushes back. She continues until she gets what she wants, until she gets justice. Lord, help me. She's a human. She wants to be treated fairly. She wants mercy. She wants justice. She wants to be treated like a human being. Do justice to me and to my daughter. She probably had heard about this feeding of the 5,000, where there were baskets and baskets of leftover bread. And all she wants is one little crumb. She'd heard the story of 12 baskets full of crumbs. Just one little crumb. And Jesus is quite slow to offer any empathy toward her. In fact, he looks at her and calls her a dog. He doesn't see her as a child of God. He doesn't see her as a human. But she does not allow that insensitivity, those insulting words, to deter her. When Jesus says, it's not fair to take children's food and throw it to dogs, she comes back and says, yes, but don't the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table, from the master's table? I would call this salvation by sass. She just came right back at him. She speaks the truth. And Jesus says, your faith is great, and your daughter is healed. That truth that she spoke opened the door to freedom. This story, this woman, shows us how a person can be bold and brave in approaching God without fear. She has her eyes on the prize of a healed daughter, and there is nothing going to deter her, not even an insult from the rabbi himself. Society's strikes against her do not limit her faith or her tenacity to reach out for what she needs, to reach even beyond the social norms, even beyond the boundaries that have been set against her. She cannot keep silence. She has to have justice. She believes that her daughter, a human being, deserves healing, deserves health care, just like any other human being. Though there is resistance at first, Jesus gives in to this foreigner, and he expresses God's mercy for all. Through this encounter, this engagement with the other, it's possible to learn human need. Learn that they're not dogs, they're humans. They have feelings and needs and children and sick children. They desire mercy and healing just like everyone else. Through this encounter, we too can see that we're more alike than different, because we are all children of God. Sometimes I am just in awe at how timely the lectionary readings are for our time, what is in the newspaper. It seems to me that the readings, the lectionary, which has been put together for 50 years or something, you know, no way could anyone have predicted what's going on in our world today for this particular Sunday. And yet, so often, the lectionary readings are just profound. We need to hear this reading today, reminding us of the challenging and life-giving truth that God loves all people and calls us to stand up against those who deny human rights or dignity to anyone. We must pray in words and in deeds for those who suffer the effects of racism, for those who inflict injustice and bigotry. We must pray for the haters and for the victims of that hatred. Racism is a sin. It has to be said and it has to be repented. Now, if I were Jesus' PR person, I would never have allowed Matthew to put this story in the Bible. Jesus just does not come off very good. And, you know, no disrespect to Jesus, you know, he's my guy. But I'll tell you that there's no way we can excuse that insult and that dismissal of someone like that. He said a very racist thing to that woman who was looking for help. She came and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not fair to take the food from children and throw it to a dog." I'm not disrespecting Jesus, but I think that this story, this encounter, was as healing for Jesus as it was for the woman and her daughter. Jesus was a product of his culture, a product of his time. It's not fair to take the food from children and throw it to the dogs. We love Jesus, but we can't approve that kind of talk. This Canaanite woman speaks to Jesus in a way that shakes up his understanding. She calls him and reminds him in a way that, do you think this is what God calls you to do? She calls him on his misunderstanding of his ministry. She wakes him up to his own bias. And after this encounter with the other, Jesus is woke. This scripture calls us to wake up too. It wakes us up. You might find it offensive that I think that Jesus needs to be corrected, that Jesus needs to be shaken up, that he needs to be taught that Canaanite lives matter. But I think this encounter really did help Jesus understand that it's not only Jewish lives that matter, it's also Canaanite lives that matter. And the truth is that until we see the lives of the least of the people matter, no life actually does. This was a lesson for Jesus and for the first century followers of Jesus, and it's a lesson for us today. We have to pay attention to this text. like Jesus, we can be bound by our culture and held hostage by our fears and our insecurities. Like Jesus, we can get caught up in the worth of those who are most like us and misunderstand every other human being, no matter what their race or ethnicity, their gender, sexuality, or religion. We need to be woke to see that all of God's children are wonderfully made in God's image. Like Jesus, we can get it wrong. And then, through an encounter with the other, or with a clear understanding and look at Jesus in the scriptures, we can have our hearts opened. We can have our minds changed. We can get it wrong, but then we can get it right. We have to get it right. If we believe that the radical love of Jesus is a call in our lives, we must be clear about our mission and our salvation. And the clearness, the clarity needs to come in our belief that it is for all God's children. But the truth that we simply know this, we know that God loves all people, it's not enough. It's not enough to say it in our prayers. It's certainly not enough when there are groups marching around declaring their superiority over other races or ethnicities and then claim that God is on their side. It's not enough to just know that that's not true. But hear this good news. In Jesus' cross and resurrection, we discover that God's love is for all people. That God, working in us and through us and with us, that we can make this world a more just place. That God will give us the sufficient courage and grace for the day. That when we stand with those who suffer, with those who are persecuted, we encounter God in a powerful and very real way. The amazing thing about the gospel is that it is not simply an instruction book or a book of good advice on how to live a clean life. It is a living word that creates in us the ability to do what God would have us do, the ability to be what God calls us to be. The Canaanite woman's first cry out to Jesus was simply ignored. Imagine what would have happened if after that first call and being ignored, if she had simply turned away, dejected and defeated. When would Jesus have come to see God's larger mission? Would he have said that the forgiveness of sin through the gift of his body and blood was for all or just for some? When would he have come to know that God loves him and sent him to save the whole world and not just a part of it? Well, we don't have to know the answers of that question because those questions, it didn't happen. We do know this, though. Though a Canaanite woman did not keep silent, she spoke out, offering a testimony and an expression of faith that is still heard today, that still needs to be heard today. See me as a person, not as a woman, not as a Canaanite, not as a minority, not as a foreigner, not as someone who is a different religion, not as someone who is just a burden. See me as a person, as a child of God. And Jesus did. The question is, will we? Amen.